to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Begin our reading in verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. The title of my message this morning is The Impact of Christ's Resurrection. Colossians chapter 3, the entire chapter, shows how the application of the resurrection of Jesus Christ truly impacts every area of an individual's life. Now, for many people, today will be one of the times that throughout the course of the year that they'll attend church. And I'm glad. I am so thankful whenever people attend the house of God to hear the Word of God. Now, I believe that we are celebrating today the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We did that last Sunday. We're going to do that next Sunday. And in fact, if you have been risen with Christ, you're going to celebrate the resurrection life that you have in Him every single day of the year. Not just one that's singled out on the calendar as a religious holiday. See, I worship Jesus Christ. I don't worship a day that has been set by men. I worship the true and living God in the person of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what I believe about Him. I believe that Jesus Christ is eternal, that He is the eternally begotten Son of God, that in the covenant of grace, He agreed to, before the world began, to redeem all those that the Father gave Him by coming from heaven's glory to the earth by way of a virgin womb. I believe Jesus Christ was literally born of a virgin named Mary. He agreed to live as no other man ever has or ever will. Jesus lived in absolute perfection. Not one time during His entire earthly sojourn did He ever even have a thought of sin. His whole life He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Jesus Christ lived a sinless life. He fulfilled every aspect of the law of God. And in that covenant, it was determined that He would suffer and die for the sins of His people. When Jesus Christ came to this earth, He, with every step He took, He knew what His ultimate end would be. He knew that he would be mocked, that he would be hated, that he would be spat upon, that he would be beaten unmercifully, that he would be nailed to a tree of cursing, that he would offer himself body, soul, and spirit. He knew all of that. And he embraced it. Jesus Christ willingly went to the cross to die for someone as wicked and ungodly and unworthy as me. He took every one of my sins and he put them away by the sacrifice of himself. And then his life was entirely unique. He not only died for his people, just as he said, he would lay his life down and he would raise it up again. Now, I personally believe that Jesus was in the tomb, in the grave. When they put him in the tomb, he was there for 3 whole days. Not just portions. I believe that he was in there for 3 whole days. Just like he said when he referred back to Jonah, who was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and nights. And on the first day of the week, early, our Lord did what no one has ever done. By his own power, he rose from the dead. And he is alive forevermore. The life of Jesus Christ changed the entire course of the world. In fact, we measure time by the ministry and life of Jesus Christ. B.C. before Christ. A.D. Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. Now, if you know public school curriculum today, they've tried to erase that. Did you know that? They call it B.C.E., before the common era. And then they call instead of A.D., they call it C.E., common era, something like that. They're trying to erase the significance of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I got news for the atheists. I got news for the evolutionists and the progressives who want to do away with God. He's alive. He's still saving people by the power of His blood and His resurrection. And He's coming again. And it's all revealed right here in the book in Colossians chapter 3. You see, I believe that if Jesus Christ has truly done a work in your heart, in your life, it's going to show. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is going to have an impact on you. It'll have an impact on your family. Now, my faith in Jesus has literally changed my entire life. My aunt and my dad, who've known me my whole life, can testify that it is a miracle of grace that I stand before you today as one saved by the grace of God and called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm risen with Christ. And each day I strive to give evidence that I belong to Him, that I'm united to Him, that I am in Christ. You can't honestly say you believe in the resurrection of Christ and remain unchanged. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Those who are risen with Christ have been transformed by the power of Christ. You look at the first New Testament church. Those first New Testament churches, they were so empowered by the miracle of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, they went everywhere declaring that message. That's what the book of Acts is all about. It says in Acts chapter 5 and verse 20, "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." And in verse 28, the rulers said, the chief priests and rulers said, "Did we not straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Later on in Acts 17, it said they turned the world upside down. Why? They were preaching Christ crucified, buried, and risen again. That message has changed the world. The message of Christ and His gospel has literally changed the world. And it's one of the reasons why people hate Christ so much. They don't want His name exalted. Now, what does it mean? The impact of Christ's resurrection. I want to personalize this. I'm talking about you. I'm talking directly to you. Has the resurrection of Jesus Christ, has His life, His death, His resurrection personally changed your life? First off, it means that your condition has been changed. The phrase, "if ye then be risen with Christ," and the term resurrection itself naturally implies a former state of death. You see, when Adam sinned, he was the federal head of all humanity. And in Adam, we all sin. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now, people want to deny this, but we all trace our existence back to the first man and woman, Adam and Eve. Adam sinned. Everybody that comes forth from Adam is born a sinner. So, Andre is going to be having a little girl. They've already got her name, God willing, Elena. When she comes forth, she'll be so cute, so cuddly, so adorable, and everybody will be saying, "Oh, she's just an angel," except for me. Now, the first time that I hold Elena, you know what I'm going to say to her? I'm going to say to her what Jesus said. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." That'll be the first words that Elena hears from her papaw preacher. But you see, children they're sinners. So you can't, that little Elena, you think she's going to be a sinner? I know who she come from. Aaron and Andrea, and yeah, they're sinners. The Bible teaches that we all come into this world as sinners. David said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Now, you all have gotten a good look at Asher. Do you think Aaron and Andrea have been teaching Asher how to sin? You think they've sat him down and said, now here's how you rebel? No, it just come real natural to him. Because all of us are sinners, broken, in need of a Savior. We're dead in trespasses and in sin. Think about this. God says that we're dead in trespasses and in sin. The idea is that of a spiritual corpse, dead to the things of God. When you think of a dead body, you think of a person who can't see, who can't hear, who can't turn, who can't believe anything. They're dead. And that's what I was before I was ever saved. I was alive physically, but I was dead spiritually. In fact, before they started pumping formaldehyde in corpses, people began, when they died, they began to putrefy and corrupt and rot and stink. You say, are you saying God is likening people who are dead in trespasses and in sins as a rotting corpse in His sight? Yes. I was once a stench in the nostrils of God. Completely corrupt, undone, putrefying in the eyes of a holy God with no good, no righteousness whatsoever. You see, this is what the resurrection changes all that. The life, the death, the burial of Jesus Christ. Death also implies bondage. We were once chained to our sins and led about by the master of deceit, Satan himself. But if you've been risen with Christ, it means that you have experienced a radical change that is brought about by the power of God through the quickening power of the Holy Spirit and the converting power of the Word of God. I can't explain it other than that it is a miracle that comes from outside of us, and it comes from God to us, and it changes us forever. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus. Do you think about Nicodemus? One of the most religious, renowned men of his day. He was a Pharisee. He was well respected. And you know what Jesus said to that religious man? Ye must be born again. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You can't see, you can't enter, unless you are born of God. And again, it's not talking about this physical birth. It's talking about a birth from above, a spiritual birth, a renovation, a resurrection, a bringing to life. Jesus said this in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now think about that. It says he hath everlasting life. The moment that God gives you the grace to believe. You don't have to wait to die till you get it. If you're saved, if you've truly been risen with Christ, you'll never come into condemnation because he took the condemnation for you. See, I'm trusting wholly in what Christ did. Not just up to the time that I believe, but right now. Because I can't get to heaven on any of my own merits. I don't have any. It's all about Christ.
He gives everlasting life, and you receive it the moment you believe. It is a translation from darkness to light, from death to life, that will change you forever. Colossians 1:13 says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." You see, if you are risen with Christ, it means you have been radically changed. And you are changed forever. 1 Peter 2:9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." I think there's two great illustrations of salvation. And He gives us this in a physical demonstration of Christ's power to heal. And one is blind Bartimaeus, the beggar. And Jesus came by. Bartimaeus heard that Christ was coming. He believed that Christ was powerful. And that day, God, in the person of Christ, did something no other person could do for blind Bartimaeus. Think about blind Bartimaeus. He couldn't see anything. He was a beggar. He couldn't offer anything. And that day, Jesus Christ changed his life by opening his eyes. How glorious is that? I'll never forget the day that I was saved. It was like, for the first time in my life, I really saw things as they really were. What I truly was, a sinner, and what I needed, Jesus Christ. And that day, when He opened my eyes, I wanted to be saved more than anything else in the world. I didn't care what my friends thought. I didn't care what I had to give up, what I had to stop doing. I wanted Christ more than anything else in the world. Now, another illustration of that was when Lazarus was in. Remember Lazarus? He died. And they put him in the tomb. He was there and he was starting to stink, the Bible says. And Jesus came and miraculously, just by the power of His voice, He said, "Lazarus, come forth." And a guy comes out of the tomb. He's wrapped in grave clothes. It's Lazarus. And He told people, "Unloose him. Take off the grave clothes and let him go." When Christ brings you to life, He brings you liberty to love Him and to serve Him. This is what happens. You're brought from darkness to light, from death to life by the power of God. Your condition has been changed from guilt and condemnation to forgiveness and justification. You've been translated out of that darkness of spiritual death and raised to sit in heavenly places in Christ. 1 Samuel 2:8, "He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to make them inherit the throne of glory." He describes my life, a beggar without anything to offer God, living in the stench of my own sins, likened unto a dunghill, a dung heap. And He raised me up out of that. He raised me out of that miry pit, and He set my feet upon a rock, and He established my goings and put a new song in my heart and praise in my mouth. The point is this. This is more than religion. This is more than just going through the motions of social obligations. This is a life-changing, life-altering, amazing thing that happens in people's lives when they're truly saved. Now, this being risen with Christ, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. If you've been risen with Christ, it means your inward character has been changed. By character, I'm referring to your inward attitudes, your desires, your affections, your thoughts. Those who have been truly raised with Christ have undergone such a radical transformation from within their heart, their affections, their desires. Their will has been changed. 1 Thessalonians 1:9 describes it this way, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." See, my affections changed when the Lord saved me. If you're saved, if you're risen with Christ, your heart inside of you, the real you, your desires have been changed. In fact, now your affections are more on heavenly things. You begin to seek the things of God because your character has been changed. Before I was saved, I didn't care a whit about God's Word. I didn't love to sing hymns. I didn't love going to church. I didn't want to be around God's people. But I tell you what, at 21 years of age, my whole life changed. And I could not explain it. I didn't know enough. I didn't understand it. It was so dramatic. But He changed my heart. He changed my affections. You see, before I was indifferent, I was apathetic, I was even hostile to God's law. The Bible says the carnal mind is at enmity against the law of God, and is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But when your heart's changed, when your internal desires and character are changed, if you're risen with Christ, you want to set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Psalm 119 and verse 72 says, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." Verse 97, "Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day." When God saved me, when I became risen with Christ, He gave me an appetite to take in the truth of the Word of God. I'm going to tell you something. I fear that there are a lot of people sitting in Baptist churches all across the world who are just going through the motions, who've never truly been changed by the power of God. It doesn't affect the way they live their life. It doesn't affect their affections, their desires. But it says here, the impact of the resurrection, "If ye then be risen with Christ, Set your affections on things above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the Father. Romans 7 and verse 22, Paul the Apostle said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Remarkably, after I was saved, I wanted to obey God rather than men. I wanted to do right what was in the sight of the Lord. And it changed my whole way of living. Now I have a capacity to love God because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Romans 5 and verse 5. Where once our desires were upon the world, now our desires are upon fellowship with God. Now you can't keep me out of church. I want to be in God's house with God's people. It wasn't that way before I was saved. Psalm 27, 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Psalm 26, 8, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thine house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Now I want to pray. I want to go to the secret place of the Most High and fellowship with God. I want to read the Word. I want to be instructed. I want to worship. I want to attend church. I want to be a witness and tell others of this glorious message that changed me. That's because of what happened inside of me. Now, I also tell you, if ye then be risen with Christ, it's not just going to affect your internal attitudes and affections. But if you've been risen with Christ, your outward conduct is also going to change. When the Lord changes your character inwardly, your outward conduct also changes. Now you can ask my dad, my aunt, and my uncle. I don't live the way I used to. You see, if you're saved, you can't do the things you once did without being convicted by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You can't follow the course of the world. You're on the narrow road. You're called to follow the example of Jesus Christ. Now you're careful to maintain good works, because you have been ordained by God to walk in them. Your life inwardly and outwardly desires to obey the rest of Colossians 3. For sake of time, I'm not going to read it. I bet some of you are real glad of that too. You sinners. But verses, you read the rest of this. And if you're risen with Christ, he says, verse 5, mortify your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. You're no longer to walk in those things. Now you have a new man. You're renewed to walk after the example of Christ and be renewed in His image. Now you're able to forgive. Now you have peace, not only with God, but the peace of God. Now you want the Word of Christ to dwell in you richly. You want other people to see that your life has been impacted by the risen Christ. By the way you talk, by the way you live, where you go, how you raise your children, how you conduct yourself. Everything's changed. I tell people all the time, if you've never been changed, you've never been saved. It even affects your home life. The last part, it gives you God's order, not the world's order, but God's order for the home. And I'm going to tell you the reason why the world is in the mess it's in now, because they're disregarding God's order. They're rejecting His Word. They're denying the life and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as a result, our world is going to hell. Families are broken. I'll tell you something else. The impact of the resurrection means that your comfort changes. I don't take comfort from this world. The source of comfort used to be in the pleasures of this world. You were happy when you got a raise, or you got a new car, or you were able to buy a better home, or it's all revolved around what was happening in your circumstances. When you're saved, your comfort is in God, in His grace. And those things, they don't really matter in the grand scheme of things, because you know that your life is hid in Christ with God. You know that you have a hope. And you're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So no matter how rotten, how dark, how wicked the world may get, my hope is still in the Lord. My trust is in Him. And no matter what happens, I know that I am safe in the arms of Jesus. I am safe in Him. Has your life been changed by the power of God? If it has, then you're going to live a different way. And it won't be a burden to you. Some people say, well, how did you give up all that hope, that life? When I saw the glory of Christ and I experienced His love, I didn't want any part of the way I used to be. I wanted to devote my life from that moment on to serving the One who loved me and gave Himself for me. I gave up a life of wretchedness and sin and ungodliness, and I have gained so much more. I was saved in November of 1980. This year it's going to be 41 years since the Lord saved me. Now, I know some of you think, well, you don't even look 41 years old. Well, I am. I'm 61. I'm telling you, God changes you forever. In the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I hope you know Him today. There's nothing more wonderful than that. If you don't know Him, what Joe Pemberton taught in Sunday school this morning, you're going to be judged for your sins. And nobody but Christ can deliver you from that. And that's why Baptists preach Christ only as the only way, the truth, and the life. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Don't look to preachers. Don't look to popes. Don't look to ordinances. Look to Christ and Christ alone. Let's all stand.
Page number 72.